But at this point, we're both in too deep, and embarrassing as it is, I want to open up to him. I want him to be a part of my life, even the parts I'm not all that proud of. If you want, you can come with me tomorrow, I say. You sound like I'm making you go to the dentist. He rubs the back of his thumb under my chin. We don't have to do anything you're not ready for. But considering we're boyfriends now, it's not a big deal. And I do think it's strange that I haven't seen your place yet, don't you? You're right. I'm just bad at this whole dating thing. I never really had a chance to get good at it. I'm happy to be the guy you practice on, he says, kissing me again. As relaxing as the kiss is, I'm still nervous as fuck about what he's going to think when he sees how shitty my place looks. Chapter 32. Reese. As we drive to the house he's staying in, I can tell by how uneasy he looks that this is the last thing in the world he wants to do right now. I'm sure he would like to take time to make it presentable, but this isn't about what it looks like. It's not about seeing a stupid room. This is about the things we don't know about each other. Those things that we haven't shared with each other. Things we need to share if we're going to make this work. Being together isn't about using a label. It's about taking steps toward sharing our lives. To see if we really can make this work. And Jay's the only person I've wanted to make this work with in a very long time. But I know this isn't really as much about what he hasn't shared with me as it is about what I haven't shared with him. What's itching at my conscience? And the longer I don't mention her to him, the more I feel like I'm living a lie. I know he said I could take my time, but I want to push through these barriers. The more I keep from him, the more I keep him at a distance, and I don't want any distance between us. When we arrive at the house in Grant Park, he leads me up the driveway. It's a decent-looking place with a trimmed yard. He unlocks the door and opens it, glancing around. Charlie, he calls out. What sounds like a chair sliding across the floor comes from an adjoining room.
Ah, well, look who it is. Guess you gotta grab some clothes so you can play slumber party with your new boyfriend.
Charlie steps through the doorway, his eyes going wide as he spots me. A smile spreads across his face.
Look at this, he exclaims.
I can't help but laugh. He approaches and Jay introduces us. We're shaking hands when Charlie says,
Aren't you a big hunk of man?
And you're awfully friendly, I say. His grin gets even bigger, something I didn't even believe was possible.
I'm just glad you're taking care of this one. Figure you'll be moving in together in no time, but I'm appreciating the cash and the peace and quiet.
The living room is clean, with a few houseplants, some of which look fake. Jay catches up with Charlie a little before he heads back into the kitchen, saying that he needs to work on his crocheting. Jay leads me through the living room into a side hall with a bathroom at the end. He unlocks a door on the left side of the hall and guides me inside. Here we are, he says, and I can hear the disappointment in his voice. The walls are bare. An unmade twin bed is set against a wall with a window. Light pours through the blinds, casting sharp white shapes across the hardwood floors. A duffel bag is tucked beside a wooden desk on the wall opposite the bed. Some clothes spill out of it, across the floor. It's not as messy as he always made it sound, but it's so empty. So nondescript. Doesn't tell me much of anything about his life because it lacks personality. He hasn't put himself into this because he's not used to staying anywhere long enough to feel comfortable making it his own. I didn't think seeing his room would make me uncomfortable. But it does. Not because of the mess, but because it reminds me that Jay is the kind of guy who's used to moving on. If something happened, something that bothered him, it would be effortless for him to pack up his things and move along to the next life he wanted to try. He's arranged his life, his belongings, and his work so that he doesn't have to stick around in any one place for very long if he doesn't want to. And the idea of losing him so quickly concerns me. "I told you it was nothing," he says, avoiding eye contact. I'm sure he sensed my discomfort, but I don't want to make him feel bad because it doesn't have anything to do with him. "It's fine, Jay. This is totally normal." "You don't look like it's normal." I'm not going to lie and act like it doesn't make me a little uncomfortable. The idea of you just leaving when you feel like you're done with Atlanta. His expression doesn't offer me any comfort. He's admitted that's how he is. How he can be. How he's never been able to settle in any one place, so he must feel that it's almost fate that he'll have to leave. "You think you'll be moving on anytime soon?" I ask. "No," he says quickly, his brow furrowed. I'm not used to having anything keeping me somewhere. Not for very long, at least. "But you've obviously had boyfriends in other cities." "Yeah, and I'm not used to them lasting long enough to bog me down much." "Is that what you think of a relationship? As something that bogs you down?" "No, no. I'm such an idiot. That's not what I meant at all. I just meant that they've always gone south pretty quickly, and when that happens, I tend to not want to stick around." Does he think that's going to make me feel more at ease? The idea that one fight and he could be packing his bags and running out of my life forever, moving on to the next place, the next partner? I notice a stack of newspapers sitting on the desk. I approach them. "More comics?" I say, sifting through them. He steps beside me, interlocking his fingers as he shifts his body like he's uneasy. "I shouldn't have brought you here, should I?" I wrap my arms around him and pull him close, kissing him. "That's not what this is about. It worries me because I am scared of something happening and you just running out. Relationships aren't easy. And considering what I deal with, the idea of it being too much and you just packing and leaving scares the shit out of me. But maybe that's what needs to happen. Maybe he just needs to save himself from all this. I don't want to leave. Maybe you'll rethink that after I share what I need to with you." I don't know how to tell him this. There's no easy way. Something like this isn't the kind of thing that there's ever a right time for. It's like breaking up with someone. You just have to do it. He eyes me curiously, surely wondering what I could have weighing on me that I need to get off my chest. I used to be married. He tenses up. "I'm sorry I didn't say anything, but it's just not the easiest thing to talk about." "That's not a huge deal, I guess. How long were you with the guy?" "It was a woman."
"A woman?"
"Yes, a woman." He opens his mouth like he's about to say something, but then closes it just as quickly. "We got married right before I went to Iraq, and we were together for about another year before she left."
"She left?"
"Yeah. I was pretty distant and cold with her when I got back. Things just weren't the same, could never be the same."
"So it didn't have anything to do with the fact that you're gay?"
"Well, I mean, I did care about her, and I was attracted to her." His eyes widen, and he pulls away.
"Wait, what?
Is that strange?" The expression on his face suggests he's not just surprised by the news, but distressed over it. I'm surprised. I didn't think that would be the big deal out of telling him that I used to be married. "So you like going down on girls? That's hot to you?"
"I never had an issue with it."
He scans over me like he's looking at a stranger.
"Jay, I'm still me. That doesn't change who I am or how I feel about you."
"That shit with the panties?" he says. "What the fuck was that really about then?" What? Were you trying to dress me up like that because you're more attracted to women? No, that's crazy. It's something I've always thought was hot. His startled expression doesn't change.
Whoa, I didn't think that I was going to creep you out about that part. I wanted to tell you I was married because it's something I feel like I've almost been keeping from you. But it was a big part of my life.
I'm going to admit, that's weird. Really weird. Not something I've come across before, so I don't want to sound ignorant, but do you need that too?
What?
Is that what the panties were about? You can't just be with one or the other? You need to bring in a girl too?
What? I'm bi, not polyamorous.
But obviously you have a thing for women that you need to act out while being with a man. That's what the thong was about.
You're thinking way too much about that. It's a little thing that was fun and that I really wanted to try out.
And it obviously has something to do with your attraction to guys and girls, like some weird hybrid thing.
Maybe, but I don't really think so. It's just hot.
His face is scrunched up like he's disgusted with me, and now I feel self-conscious about something that I thought was just good, hot fun.
Stop overthinking that one thing.
One thing? You have to admit, the underwear fetish is kind of weird, and I thought it was strange already, but now that I know that you're into girls too, what am I supposed to think about that?
Would it have changed anything if you'd known about it that night?
I don't think I'd have been as willing to go along with it if I'd thought you were thinking of me as a girl while I was in those.
I wasn't thinking about you as a girl. I was sharing this with you because I thought you would want to know that I was married. I didn't think you'd care about me having been with women before.
Well, I do.
How am I supposed to satisfy that need? I don't have that. I will never have that if that's something you want.
That doesn't even make any sense.
How does it not make sense?
Have you never been with a bi guy before?
No.
Well, it's not like I need both at the same time. It's not any different than if I was a gay guy. Just because I might be attracted to maybe fit and twinky guys wouldn't mean I would need to be with both. I can be with just one person.
His shoulders relax, but he eyes me apprehensively.
You don't think the thong fetish might be connected in some strange way? He presses.
Even if it is, who gives a shit? You're my boyfriend.
Okay.
Okay.
I just have to process it. Give me a minute. That's a weird-ass thing to hear.
That's fine.
I get that. But you do realize that nothing's changed between us because of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He runs his hands through his short brown hair, taking a breath like he's still struggling with it more than I feel like he should be. I figured he'd think it was weird that I had been married, not that I enjoyed fucking girls. I wonder if this has something to do with his fear of guys cheating on him. Maybe he suddenly just realized that I could cheat on him with so many more people than before. And now, on top of his worry about cheating, he has to worry that he won't be able to satisfy my desire to be with a woman. It's a wildly misguided assumption. Considering if I was gay, I'd be just as likely to want to have sex with other guys as a bi guy who wants to have sex with guys and girls, but I figure once he calms down, he'll be more rational about this.
Chapter 33. Jay.
Now I realize why Reese thought it was so important to come over here today. We've been playing house together, but there are things we still don't know about each other. I thought, based on some of what we'd shared, we were open about so many things, but after the bomb he just dropped, I realized there's a whole lot I still don't know about Reese.
Married to a woman?
I've known plenty of guys who were married before they came out, but most of them haven't identified as bi. They were just trying to fit in. Reese, on the other hand, could fuck guys or girls. How has that never come up before?
I guess I didn't give a shit what gender he was attracted to, just that he was attracted to me. But what the fuck?
It's not particularly a bad thing, but I don't get it. It's never been the way that I felt, so it's hard for me to relate.
And whether or not he wants to admit it, I don't think it's an accident that he happens to like fucking girls and wanted to fuck me while I was wearing the thong. He enjoyed it so much. I would have put it on again just because of how hot it was. But now I'm so fucking confused because I feel like I'm with a stranger. At least, someone I don't know as well as I thought I did. On the drive back to his place, I'm quiet. Questions keep amassing in my brain, crowding each other, fighting for me to decide which ones are most important and which ones need to be asked first. So you loved this woman? Her name's Melanie, he says. And I did love her. And she left you? He tenses his jaw. Yes. That's what happened. So you're hung up on her? He winces. It's been almost a decade since I saw her. I've moved on, Jay. I'm not the guy I was back then. And she's not the girl she was. I mean, plenty of people get dumped without being totally hung up on the person for the rest of their lives. And you enjoyed having sex with her? Did we not cover that question? Sorry, it's just... Damn it. I don't even know what to think about any of it. Like, who are you? Are there other things you haven't told me? As much as there are other things you haven't told me... I've lived enough that there's shit in my past. Do you want me to make a list of all the people, guys and girls, I've slept with? I don't think you want that any more than I want to know about all your sexual escapades. But he did just feed me a pretty good question. What about a percentage? I ask. What? Guys to girls. Oh, God, I don't know. Why do I think that'll make this better? I guess I'm hoping he'll say that he's leaning toward fucking guys. Then I don't have to feel so weird about it. Like, 20%? 20% girls? Guys. Fuck. Why is that a big deal? He asks. It just confirms that you also need to get your rocks off with girls. That doesn't make any sense. He sounds irritated by my line of questioning, and I admit that I'm not thinking all of this through. But what does he fucking expect when he surprises me with shit like that? It makes a little bit of sense, at least, I say. I've just never had to think about it if I like girls or guys. I've always known it was guys. What is that even like when you're growing up? How did you know what to do? It was a little difficult when I was a kid. When I was in middle school, there was this guy I was really hot for, my friend, Ryan. When we changed together in the locker room, I'd always feel a little twitch, and I figured I might be gay, but then there was this girl in one of my classes, and I had the hots for her, too. At first, I wondered if I was just making it up, trying to convince myself that I was straight, but I pretty much got the same feelings around her. I decided to go with whatever I felt and trust that whoever I was really attracted to would sort everything out. The next year, I started messing around with this guy at the housing facility where we stayed. I figured that was proof enough I was gay because it felt good and I really liked it. But then a couple of years later, I ended up messing around with a girl at school and we started dating. After that, I pretty much only had relationships with girls and flings with guys. What does that make me, then? I ask. Oh, shit. Jay, you know I didn't mean it like that. Didn't you? Are you saying that this is some temporary shit? No. I wasn't saying that. I was just explaining that it's kind of all over the place. I don't have some one thing set in stone that can simplify what I feel for people. Tell me about it. That would make it too easy. I like having sex with you. I like the time that we spend together. He turns from the road and looks me directly in the eyes. I like you, Jay. His words offer me some comfort. I must be a real dick for interrogating him like this, but this was a lot to digest in one morning. We stop by Home Depot.
He picks up some soil for the garden and puts it in the back of the SUV. I stop asking questions because I realize they aren't getting me anywhere, just confusing me. Frustrating me even more than I already am. If he told me right away that he was bi, I doubt I would be this confused, but it's the fact that I feel like I've been blindsided by it. Not that he lied. We never actually discussed how he felt. I just assumed that he was gay. Any other guy would have just assumed he was gay. He fucks guys. Therefore, he's gay. This is the first time in my life that it hasn't been that simple. When we get to Reese's, he heads out into the backyard to work on the garden. I tell him I'm going to take a nap. But I can't fucking sleep, not after what I just learned. I guess it's a combination of never being with someone I knew was bi and someone with a panties fetish that is throwing me off. If he'd just been gay and wanted that, like I thought, it would have just been this quirky thing that he liked. And I would have been eager and excited about doing it again. But now there's this whole other layer to why he wanted that. I feel a little dirty for having entertained his fantasy, and admittedly, I'm thinking, was he thinking about his ex-wife while he was fucking me? He loved her. She broke up with him. He obviously enjoyed fucking her, too. I know that we needed this. That if there's any chance of us actually being something serious, I have to know the truth about who he is. But why does the truth have to be so fucking confusing? I hop on my laptop and Google everything I can about bi guys, heading to different message boards. Not much help. I try bi guys and panties and just come up with shit about cross-dressing. Not helpful either. I wasn't expecting a Google search to answer my question, but I was hoping to at least find some people who were dealing with shit like this. Maybe I'll try later. Why does this have to be such a big deal to me? It doesn't change that I like Reese. Doesn't change that I want to keep being with him. Maybe I'm making a big deal because I feel like something has to be wrong. Things have felt too good. Been too easy between us that now there has to be something about him that's totally going to fuck up everything that we're doing. That's going to bulldoze the relationship we're searching for. I can get through it. Maybe not today. But I can figure out how to make this okay in my brain. I like Reese. A lot. And it meant a lot that he opened up about this to me. And now that I'm calming down, I realize how big of an asshole I was for the way I reacted to him opening his heart to me, being honest with me. His honesty shouldn't have been met with questions and accusations, but support. I'm a bastard. Chapter 34. Reese. Disappointed. That's how I feel. I thought sharing my history with Jay would bring us closer together, but that was a fucking mistake. I carry a bag of soil through each row of plants, pouring liberally. When I'm finished, I'll go back around and spread it with my hands. Jay said he was going to take a nap, but I imagine he's just replaying our entire relationship, trying to make sense of it within the context of what he now knows. The back door to the house opens and Jay comes out. The serious expression on his face isn't reassuring. Is he coming out here to ask me some more questions? I don't know if I can deal with them right now. Hey, man, he says as he approaches. Hey. I don't look at him. I just keep spreading the soil. Can we talk? Shoot. No, like, can you set the bag down for a minute? I want to say a few things. I stop pouring, squat, and set the bag down. As I stand back up, I look into his eyes. He doesn't look as guarded or defensive as he did earlier. I'm hoping that's a good sign. I'm sorry. Okay. He says. That was a real dick move of me. You told me something important because you were trying to be open with me, and I just shut you down. That's about right. I've never had anyone share something like that with me, and I wasn't lying when I said that it kinda weirded me out with the panties thing. I don't know. Put yourself in my shoes. It wouldn't go through your head at all that maybe it was because you were thinking about me as a girl? I look over his body, his muscles tight against the t-shirt he's wearing. Trust me, Jay, when I fuck you, I don't think about girls at all. His lips curl at the sides, and it's the first time I've seen him ease up since our conversation back at his place. I'm sorry for being an asshole, he says. Thank you for the apology. And thank you for taking me to your place today. And listening to me. Even though you were a dick about all that, it meant a lot to me to tell you. And to learn some things about you. The only reason I did any of that was because I want to take things further. And we can only do that if we're open with each other about who we are. I have to admit that you keeping your place a secret from me made me feel like we were delaying moving forward, and in the same way, that's what I was doing with my ex-wife. By not sharing that with you, I was keeping us from being able to move on together. That's important in any relationship. Getting to know the other person, the real other person, not just this idea that we come up with in our heads of who they are. I get what you mean there. I smile. So all that stuff you said about Caleb? He asks. About moving down here? Because of him? I asked Melanie first, and she was more than willing. She did everything she could to help me. I honestly don't know how I would have handled the amputation without her. She was the one who stayed on top of my appointments with my prosthetist. She helped make sure that I was comfortable with the prosthesis when Caleb came back. She knew I was having a hard time mentally. She'd been encouraging me to get help, but I wouldn't. I think she figured that moving near him would help us both because at least we would have each other, but it didn't do much good. Just two struggling guys trying to lean on each other for help, grasping for answers that neither of us had, and dying inside the whole time. It got even worse after he killed himself. Then Melanie and I both knew how much I needed help, and she tried to make me get it. I was stubborn, though. I didn't think I could be helped. One time she made the appointment for me to see someone at the VA's office, and I told her I was going, but I went to the grocery store instead and walked around for a few hours before going home and telling her I didn't think it would do me any good. It was a long process, even after she left, before I got help. I thought you said you got help after that episode you had at work, when you talked to that vet. He did tell me to get help, but it was a while even after that. It wasn't until a few months later when I ended up on the floor of my house for about a week after I left that job. I was having one of the worst episodes of my life, and I was thinking the sorts of thoughts that I know led Caleb to take his own life. That I wasn't right in the head, that I never would be. That I could end it all and never have to worry again. It scared the shit out of me because I realized that I didn't have a choice at that point. I was either going to do what Caleb did or see if I could find a reason to keep on going. It wasn't easy. But I made myself go to the VA office, which was about as useless as you could imagine. But I was fucking determined. I wasn't going to end up like Caleb, and if I was, I was at least going to die having fought my ass off to live. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. Not your fault. Just a crazy, shitty world that we live in. And I figured it out. Well, I'm figuring it out. This garden's helped a lot. It was one of the first things I ever did to get my mind working on something else. It was hard as fuck, too. Building it was like fucking lifting weights. A constant battle, not physically, but against all these things in my head that cripple me worse than... I don't even want to say it. I don't want to remind myself of it again. Don't I have to deal with it enough as it is? He approaches me and kisses me softly before running his fingers through my hair. I hope you don't see yourself that way, Reese. As some crippled guy. Because when I look at you, when I hear about everything you've been through, I just see this incredibly strong, brave man. A man who I admire so much for working so hard to find a way to survive when everything inside him was trying to destroy him. I smirk. Look who's sure not being a prick anymore. He laughs. Shut up. I said I'm sorry. Whatever. Maybe I can jump in the shower and we can get back to what really matters. I think I need a pick-me-up right about now. I move toward him quickly and wrap my arms around him, keeping my glove-covered hands away from the back of his shirt since I don't want to mess it up. You're all sweaty, he says, though he doesn't make it sound like a bad thing. You like it? I ask. He gazes up at me, his eyes wide with eagerness. In this hot moment, he's obviously abandoned all that concern he was dragging around with him earlier. I like it a lot. I kiss him, and he doesn't hesitate to kiss me back. He rests his hand against my sweat-soaked face. He slides his hand behind my head and pulls me in closer. When I break away, he gazes into my eyes. Let's get things finished up out here and take a shower. He helps me put away the soil, and I figure I'll come out tomorrow and spread it right now. I just want to be with Jay. Remind him that the only person I want to be fucking is him. We head to the bedroom. I remove my prosthesis and put it in the corner of the room. And when we get into the shower, I grab onto a rail. I run the water, allowing it to slam against my back, blocking it from Jay, but I figure I need to get clean more than he does right now. Jay turns to a shelf in the corner opposite the shower head and presses down on the soap dispenser a few times, collecting a thick wad in his hand. He rubs his hands together and turns back to me. I'll take care of this, he says, excitement in his eyes. He lathers the soap in his hands before sweeping them in semicircles across my chest, gripping firmly like he's just trying to get a good feel. In all the time that I wasn't having sex before he came along, it felt like I was just working out at the gym for me, trying to be fit on the outside to show myself that, despite my weakness, I was still strong. Now, it's like all that time in the gym was finally for something, like all those amazing times we've shared in bed together, getting to see him enjoy them. As his gaze meets mine, I don't see any concern about my handicap or my past, and it sets me at ease. He lowers his hands, sliding them across my abdomen, feeling into the grooves between my abs. You've got one hot 8-pack, Reese, he says. I reach my hand that isn't on the rail to him and run my thumb between his pecs, down the vertical dip between his abs. You've got some nice abs on you, too. He doesn't look at me. Just continues taking in my body, feeling his slippery fingers across it. I like how easily his hands slide across my skin. He caresses my hips, and I'm surprised by how firm they are as he massages them with his hands. My cock steadily grows as the delightful sensation of his touch stimulates a powerful desire within me. You really are like a work of art, he says. His words come with a bitter reminder of Melanie. What? He asks. That sounds like something Melanie would have said. She was an artist. Used to paint a lot. She painted me for some time. Called me her muse. She had a difficult time painting after I got back. The only thing she did was that painting in the living room. That was actually one of the last ones she did before we divorced. But clearly we needed to because that was what she saw me as. Or, that's who I was. Just a sad, lonely shell of a person. I felt like shit because it wasn't just her husband who had abandoned her. So had her inspiration, the thing that gave her real joy. I'm sure she understood. Maybe too much for too long. Sorry. You don't have anything to be sorry about. That relationship was a big part of your life. and I like that you're comfortable sharing it with me, even when I was such a bastard to you about it." He pulls one hand back and runs the back of his fingers up and down my torso. It's strange standing here, being on display like this before him. It makes me think of the night he wore the thong, how vulnerable he was. That's how I feel now, but more because of the things we've discussed. How much better he knows me than being naked before him, my physical weakness revealed. He steps closer to me, moving his hand aside as he presses his abs up against mine. My cock pushes back into my leg, and he grabs it and repositions it, pointing it up so that it rests against his stomach. I lean down to kiss him, but he tilts his head back, pulling away. "No," he says, "not yet." He gazes into my eyes, giving me a moment to appreciate his brown irises, a deep mahogany color glistening in the bathroom's fluorescent light. His thick lips beg for my kiss like that's all they were made for, and they remind me of so many nights where I've just been able to take them when I chose to. To have them withheld from me, even for a moment, is a struggle. I shift my weight on the rail and step aside so that he can step into the water with me. He takes my invitation, sliding beside me so that the water runs through his hair, flattening it against his scalp. He turns to me, the water webbing across his face, dripping off his chin. His mouth hangs open as if he's about to say something, or as if he's about to slide my cock into it. He moves close to me again, pressing up against me. Now the water is streaming down both of our faces, and I can't hold back anymore. I move forward quickly and wrap my free arm around him, my cock running vertically up his torso and his sliding up the side of my leg as his torso slides slightly across the soap on mine. We kiss in a frenzy, his hands caressing my body as I cling to him with my free arm, kissing across his face. The water slides between us as we enjoy this passion-filled moment. I get so lost in it that I lose my footing. Shit! I tumble forward, but he props me up. "I told you I've got you," he says, before kissing me again. It reminds me of how he carried me at the factory. His words mean so much more than just about this moment. And I'm relieved to have him here with me. Because until he entered my life, it was without meaning or purpose. It wasn't a life. It was survival. It was struggling against my fucked up brain constantly. Now, I have a reason for all this fighting. For the war I wage every day.
Chapter 35. Jay. We hurry through our shower, and I help Reese into the bedroom. He pushes me onto the bed and hops on top of me. His lips travel down my body, kissing with licks and nips that shoot jolts of excitement through me. I run my hand down his back, enjoying the sensation of his smooth skin, tight against his firm muscles. When I reach his ass, I grip on. I imagine him sliding inside me as I hold on to his ass and direct his speed, needing him faster and faster. "I need you inside me," I say. "Please, Reese." He grabs the condoms and lube from the nightstand while I reposition on the bed. I grab a pillow and put it behind my back before spreading my legs. I feel so silly for all the trouble I gave him earlier. In moments like these, I realize that I don't care why Reese wants me, only that he does. "Get on your knees," he says, as he tosses the lube and condoms on the sheets. I obey his command and arch my back. He grabs my ass cheeks and pulls them apart, diving his face in first. Oh, God! With his skilled tongue, he works around my rim, enjoying himself. I hear him growl and I glance over my shoulder. He wipes some pre-cum off the head of his dick before crawling up my body. "Eat my cum," he commands as he slides his fingers into my mouth. I lap it up, and it tastes just as good as it always does. "You like it?"
"Yes."
"I'm gonna try you while I'm at it," he says, and he runs his fingers over my sensitive head and takes my pre-cum. He pops his fingers into his own mouth and tastes it slowly.
Oh, fuck, Jay, that's real fucking good. He licks his finger some more, and then runs them over my hole. He takes his time before inserting two fingers, massaging gently. Steadily, he presses them inside me. Reese, give me that cock, please. Shh. I'll give it to you when I'm ready. Please. He moves his fingers deep within me so that I feel them hit my prostate. I curse. He pulls his fingers out. He suits up and lubricates before entering me. Nice and easy, he says, taking his time. I take deep breaths as I adjust to him. We work together, him moving in as I become more at ease with each push. He caresses his hand across my back. Good work, he says. I moan out as he pushes farther in. When I feel his pelvis against my ass cheeks, I know he's in all the way. He moves in and out, and as he finds his stride, he grips the back of my hair, pulling as tight as I like it. But tonight, I don't mind a little more. Don't make it easy on me, I say. He pulls back harder so that I have to lean farther back and balance on my knees. He thrusts powerfully as my shoulder blades meet his thick chest. He wraps his arm around me and grips onto my torso. Then he slides his foot to the side and pulls me back. We fall together until I'm stretched out on top of him as he continues fucking from beneath me. Damn, that's right on my prostate, I say. It feels so good. Not satisfying, but just on the edge, building and building to that inevitable sweet release. But there's a sting to it. An unfilled hunger that leaves me wanting, craving more. He yanks back on my hair even harder so that his face is pressed against my cheek, his breath slamming against my flesh. Goosebumps creep across my body. My balls feel like they're on fire because the pressure in them is so intense. I'm getting too close, I say. I am too. I'm relieved to hear that because I was terrified I'd spew out and leave him hanging, and all I want is to please him right now. To give him the satisfaction he craves, because that's what's fucking turning me on right now. He fucks me even harder, and it's too late for me, because I spew onto my stomach just as I feel him twist with that movement that lets me know he's coming too. I shake my head back and forth as cum continues rushing out of my dick. Heat fills my cheeks, and I lose myself in the intensity of the experience. We pant and sweat as we fall together from our climaxes. After we clean up, rinse off, and dispose of the condom, we crawl back into bed, his arms around me and mine around him. We gaze into each other's eyes. He beams. A sweet sensation fills me, and I imagine many more nights like this with him. It's a safe feeling. It assures me that it's safe for me to settle down, like I don't have to spend the rest of my life running. Could this really work? Could I get to enjoy being with Reese for so much longer? It's a thought I wouldn't normally allow myself to have, but one that excites me. I want to be with him. I want to have so many more nights like this, and for the first time in a very long time, a calm sensation sweeps through me. That look in his eyes seems to be appreciating me as much as I'm appreciating him. I care so much for him. More than I've ever cared for another guy. The word love keeps running through my mind, but it scares me too. It's too soon for me to be feeling anything more than lust. What I'm feeling is just an illusion. Like I've felt with other guys I thought there might be a future with. I've never had this before, so it's just more than I'm used to. But could it become that? The more time we spend together, could I get to the place where I feel that way for him? I know if there's anyone I could feel that way about, it's Reese. Jay, he says softly. And by the way he looks at me, it's as though he's about to say what I'm thinking. And I want him to. I want to know that I'm not alone in this. He starts, but stops himself. His gaze travels over my face before he says,
"That was hot as hell."
Disappointment rushes through me. I shouldn't be disappointed. Not after what we just shared, not after what I just felt. But I can't help it. As much as Reese has given me, I want more. So much more. I'll settle for what we have right now, though. We have all the time in the world to get to know each other. For what we feel to strengthen.
Chapter 36. Reese. Being with Jay has been a dream. He's given me something I didn't think I'd ever feel again. Peace of mind. Being with him relaxes my thoughts and every part of my body. 8 years ago, I never would have thought I would reach this place. That I could feel like I did before the world showed me just how dark and cruel it could be. With Jay, I feel secure. Like, at least in the moments we share together, I can allow myself to enjoy pleasure. I don't have to live in worry and paranoia. The other night, I wanted to tell him how much I care about him. As I gazed into his beautiful eyes, thinking he looked adorable as fuck with the way a stray lock of hair curled down across his forehead, I wanted to tell him just how much he means to me. I caught myself before I did, though. Reminded myself that words like those don't have to come yet. We have plenty of time. Tonight we're heading to the Louis C.K. show. Something I'm excited about sharing with him. I'm so pleased I was able to give him a present he really wants. One that can take us out of the mundane world we deal with on a daily basis. We need an escape. I head up the driveway after a long day at the factory. Jay's running by the store to pick up some condoms and lube since last night we discovered we're running low. I told him to make sure he bought a 24-pack because at the rate we're going, we need it. I retrieve my keys from my pocket.
"Reese!"
The loud, boisterous voice jolts me so much I drop my keys. I'm on edge in an instant, my body filled with tension. The blood in my face drains. The joy I was experiencing vanishes. My thoughts crowd with flashes, running through streets, avoiding gunfire, bombs going off. The insurgent coming into the room after the IED went off. I feel the need to protect Caleb, Drake, and myself. I turn and see someone coming at me and jump forward. The man backs away quickly, throwing his hands up before him. It's Damon. My fucking neighbor. Shit. Calm the fuck down. Act cool. Sweat beads across my forehead. My body quakes with an intensity that's concerning as a sharp pain pushes into my chest, makes me feel like I'm about to have a heart attack. It's a familiar sensation, one I know all too well. I keep trying to calm myself, but I know there's no use.
"Hey, man,"
he says. He looks completely non-threatening in his light blue scrubs. He works as a physician's assistant at the hospital downtown.
"Everything okay? Jesus, I didn't think I would scare you like that, but you're white as a ghost."
"Sorry, Damon." He doesn't normally come over like this. I'll typically only see him on weekends when I'm mowing the lawn or doing yard work. I kneel down and pick up my keys, hoping the action will distract me and keep him from picking up on my strange behavior. As I stand back up, he holds out a letter.
"This was in my mail today,"
he says, passing it to me. I take it quickly. He tenses up. I can tell he's surprised by how I snatched it away. "Sorry about the way I'm acting," I say. "I'm just a little on edge. There's a lot going on at the factory."
"Not an issue, bud,"
he says. But it's obvious by the look he gives me that he doesn't think anything that happened at work can account for how I'm behaving. "Thanks for bringing it over."
"Yeah. And you know, if you and your friend want to swing by for dinner one night, you know you're more than welcome."
I can tell by the look in his eyes that he knows what we are. And that's the sweetest thing he could have said. "Thanks," Damon. He grins and says, "Catch you later." He starts like he's about to pat my shoulder, but stops himself. He must sense that that's too much for me. I take deep breaths. I try to remember all the processes that Laura's taught me over the years. But my desperation to soothe myself in this moment only makes it even worse. I can't be like this on such an important night. I count my breaths, but it just makes me hyper aware of how much I'm shaking right now. I want to fall down, curl into a ball, and disappear. When I get inside, I lock the door and drop to my knees. My chest tightens even more. The pressure is frightening. I can feel my fucking heartbeat. It's fast, like my heart's about to pop out of my fucking chest. Jay will be home soon, I remind myself. I have to get back to normal for him. I drop the letter Damon handed me on the floor. I see who it's from. Melanie Carmichael. Oh, Melanie. She hurt me so much, but I hurt her more. Every night I wasn't there for her. Every night I recoiled from her touch. Every night she tried to get me to go out or to pull me from the grip of my despair, only to be met with the cold shell of a person that I'd become after I came back home. The combination of Damon freaking me out and Melanie's letter collide, generating the perfect panic attack. I lie on my stomach, resting my hands beside me. It's pointless to fight. I have to go with it, like Laura says. But I don't want Jay to come home and see me like this. I don't want him feeling like every time I fall, he has to catch me. But my awareness of how this will affect Jay only makes it hurt even more. I beg my body to help me. He was so excited when he saw the tickets, and I've been so eager to spend tonight with him. However, this episode reminds me of how long things like this can stretch out and how they can interfere with my life. Reminds me of a time when I could hardly function because they were so intense, of the stretches that still occur, that leave me walking through life like some sort of zombie. I knew the relief I was experiencing with Jay wouldn't last, that one day I would have to confront this dark part of me again. You can do this. But I know willpower only works against me. I always use it as a tool to beat up on myself. Relax. Relax. But I can't. Jay can't come home and find me in this state. I need to at least make it to the couch so I can look like I'm tired or taking a nap. That'll give me time to recover. We have at least 2 hours before we have to leave here anyway. Come on. I need to be strong long enough to get there. I hear the familiar sound of Jay's car engine outside. The couch feels so fucking far away, even though it's just a few feet. Mental flashes of the urgency of war return to me. It's like I'm racing through streets on high alert, knowing there could be a sniper aiming for me, that I or any one of my friends could be shot dead in a moment. I push to my knees. It feels like I'm struggling against a 300-pound weight. I crawl across the floor. The sound of the car door opening and closing. I don't have much time. He's not going to find me like this. I'm not fucking this up. I press my hand against the back of the couch as I start rising to my feet. I hear the rattling of the lock on the door. Jay must have just put his key in. The pain in my chest is like someone sticking a knife in it. Do it, I command myself before getting up and throwing myself over the couch. As the door opens, I settle on my back, closing my eyes and hoping to God I look like I'm taking a nap, that I haven't been caught. I doubt I'm giving a good performance of appearing comfortable because I can feel that every muscle in my body is flexed. Hey, Jay sings out, stressing the dissonance between our mental states. He closes the door as I pretend to wake up. Oh, hey, I fight to say. He eyes me uneasily. He can tell something's wrong, and I'm pissed at how shitty I am at keeping this shit from him. You okay? Just got a headache. I took some ibuprofen. I'm shitty to lie to him, but I won't ruin tonight.
This was supposed to be a fun-filled date where we would laugh together and forget about all this shitty stuff. But now, here it is, right in my face, torturing me. "Okay," he says as he approaches and leans over the couch, offering a kiss. I reciprocate, but I can't offer him the sort of kiss I usually would. I'm too busy fighting this demon within me. He notices and pulls away. "Sorry," he says. "You need me to get anything?" I see the same look in his eyes that I used to see in Melanie's. Helplessness. Worry. He wants me to open up, but he doesn't want to push. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to spoil everything. And that's all that my goddamn brain seems to do. Spoil shit. "I'm good," I say, even though I'm far from it. He twists his lips into a wry smirk. "Okay, I'm just gonna go shower up and make some dinner then."
"Just make yourself some. I'm not going to be hungry. Thank you, though."
"Sure." He heads on to the bedroom. At least while he's showering, I have a chance at recovering, although I can tell by how powerful this is that I don't have a chance of getting better. Not tonight. I have to find a way out of this. This isn't like my usual episode, the ones he's seen. It's like the ones I had back when I was with Melanie. Because I'm not just reminded of what I did to her, but what I fear I'll end up doing to Jay. He's had to help me out of my attacks on several occasions. He's good at it. He's amazing. And I know he would be understanding about tonight. But he shouldn't have to be. He shouldn't have to live like this. He has his own problems. He shouldn't have to take on my demons, too. These demons that can creep up at any time and take what should have been a fun moment and turn it into something dark. I knew this moment would come. I kept warning myself. But I was so greedy to enjoy him that I wouldn't let myself fully consider the consequences. A horrifying realization hits me. One I've known all along, but which in my emotional state and dread regarding the letter from Melanie is only amplified. I could ruin Jay's life. If he stays with me, I could jade him the way I jaded Melanie. I want him so much, though. Want him with every part of my being. It's a selfish desire. I want him here because he makes me better. Because I want someone to soothe my pain. What do I really offer him? What can I offer him in the long term other than the misery of having to nurse me back to health every time an episode like this hits me, when they become so severe that I can't enjoy something I want to share with him so much, when I have to be a witness to him slowly becoming more and more disheartened by our life together? I remember how alive Melanie was before I went to Iraq. Her bright smile. Her zest. Her playfulness. We had the same sort of frisky fun together that I now share with Jay. But then there was the defeated look in her eyes before she left. Those dead eyes, nearly as dead as mine because of how I killed her soul more and more every day. When she'd given up on crying or pleading for me to get help, when I wasn't sure she even believed she could be happy ever again. To think I could do that to Jay. That he could wind up as sad and miserable, and that I could let him do that like I did with Melanie tears me apart. As much as I want to believe I'm better, that things have changed, this reminds me it's not true. This will never go away. It can't. This is a part of who I am now, and I've known it all along. Some romantic part of me wanted to believe that Jay could make this go away, could heal all these internal wounds, but that was just a fantasy. This is the reality. This is what had to happen. We shared a brief moment of bliss, A moment where I was free of the true depths of my despair, but my moods aren't ever static. The happy moments don't last forever. It's one thing to go to work and push through the hard days there. But it's another to have to pretend to be okay within a relationship when I'm falling apart inside. A coworker doesn't care if I'm distant. A lover does. I won't do that to another person. Not to someone who I care about as much as Jay. It's wrong. Abusive, even. How could I live with myself if I had to come face to face with a version of Jay that was as emotionally depleted as Melanie was? How could I be happy knowing that I did that to my Jay? Her words echo in the back of my mind. I can't do this anymore. It breaks my heart. Tears into my soul. You know what you have to do. I have to hurt him. But better for him to get hurt now and move on with his life than for me to fill his life with the darkness that consumes me, to let it destroy him too. I won't let that happen. Not to him.
Chapter 37. Jay. Feeling any better? I ask. It's an hour and a half until the show. It'll only take 15 minutes to get to the Fox, but between finding parking and getting to our seats, we need to leave soon.
Jay, why don't you just go without me? The headache's gotten a lot worse.
You need some more ibuprofen?
No, I've taken plenty. I don't think I'm going to be able to enjoy tonight.
When I came in and saw him lying on the couch, I could tell he was rattled. Considering he was fine at work today, I know something's triggered him. Something changed between the time we got off work and when I got home. I've seen how quickly a sound can set him off, but if that's all it is, why doesn't he just tell me? He knows he can talk to me about this kind of stuff. Hell, I've seen him have episodes before. Did something happen? I ask.
No. A lie.
You can talk to me if something set you off. That's not something you should be ashamed of.
I just don't want to talk about it.
His tone is severe enough that I know better than to push. I can wait till he calms down and this episode passes. We'll just skip the show tonight, I say. Sad as I am that we're going to miss something I was so excited about, it's for the best. He can't handle the show tonight.
Jay,